Chapter 39. Fi'ir Kusat and Antonina's Wervel emerged from Quarig's Pass after noon. As they approached Black Barrow, the evergreen forest that carpeted the foothills ended. Fi'ir hunkered down in his coat against the deep autumn chill and climbed a low rise. The sight took his breath away. No one had lived in Black Barrow for 700 years. The land should have been long overgrown with grass, trees, undergrowth. It wasn't. The grass, at least, should have been an autumnal brown. It wasn't. 7 centuries ago, the decisive battle of the War of Shadow had been fought in the early summer, and the grass at Fi'ir's feet was still short and green. He saw the raw depression where a farmer's stone fence had been pulled from the earth, the stones taken into the city so that they might not be used as missiles by the enemy's siege engines. Nothing had grown in the bare depressions that marked where this fence had stood, seemingly only days before. Time had stopped here. Lifting his eyes, Fi'ir saw more. Ruts from the passage of wagons, grass beaten flat by marching feet, holes for the fire pits and latrine pits of an abandoned military camp. But no tents or tools. Anything that could be looted had been taken long ago. But everything that remained stayed unchanged. That didn't only apply to the land. 200 paces away, the bodies began. First, a few marking the edge of the battle, and then hundreds, and then thousands, until in the distance the ground lay under a black blanket of the dead. The epicenter of death was a perfectly round dome of black rock, the size of a small mountain covering the city, and the hill where the castle had once been. At the base of the dome, siege engines on broken wheels, half consumed by fires, tottered, but hadn't fallen despite the centuries. The dome was surrounded by a larger circle of magic in the land itself, miles across, called the Dead Domain. Outside the circle, time continued. Wind blew. Rain fell. Inside the Dead Domain, they didn't. Fi'ir rolled his great shoulders, readying himself. He cupped his hands close to his face and conjured a fire with his talent. Then he stepped across the boundary into the circle of death. Nothing happened. He let the fire die.
"That's odd," he said aloud.
Antoninus grunted in assent. Fi'ir squinted at the air. The Dead Domain, like Black Barrow itself, was Emperor Jorsen Alcesti's work. He had made it lethal to use the Vir within the circle. But because the Vir had similarities to the talent, there was always some dissonance in the circle when anyone tried using the talent. Little things would be different, like mage fire being red instead of orange. But Alcesti's weave was gone. Fi'ir rubbed his scruffy beard. It was good for him. He wouldn't have to factor it into the work he'd come here to do. But someone had broken what Jorsen had made. That was not good. Examining the air over the circle in the same way he had examined the circle in Ezra's wood, Fi'ir studied the magic. He could feel an emptiness in the weaves. The great magics Jorsen had woven didn't break without leaving a trace. Unfortunately, he couldn't tell much except that the weaves had been broken recently. But to break a spell Jorsen Alcestis had made using Curoc would have required someone incredibly powerful here wielding some artifact, or a couple of 100 magi or Verdmeisters working together. Fear couldn't imagine anyone with a shred of sense or decency participating in such a scheme. So that meant Wurtmeisters. Jorsen's other weaves, the ones sealing the ground and sealing the dead, were perfectly intact. Fear didn't think they would be so easily broken, either. He hoped not. Fear scanned the distant trees. Suddenly queasy that unfriendly eyes might be hiding within them. He walked across the plain quickly, the air curiously odorless, even as he approached the first body. The creature was the black of a bloated corpse, and man-shaped but ill-proportioned. Its arms were too long, its face too long, lower jaw jutting forward, ragged hooks of teeth stabbing up into the air from its lower jaw, mismatched black and blue eyes, staring. It was massively muscled. Its skin was hairy, bordering on fur, and it had neither clothes nor weapon. It was a Krull. The Meisters could not make life, but they could mimic and mock it. There were, Dorian had once told Fear, dark mirrors of almost every natural creation. Fear and Antoninus walked on. It was going to get worse. A lot worse. Soon, dead Krull lay everywhere. Thousands had been killed bloodlessly by Jorsen's magic, but thousands more bore the marks of their deaths. Ugly faces had been crushed by warhammers or flailing hooves. Chests were caved in from being trampled. Throats were cut. Torsos disemboweled. Eyes hung by optic nerves from broken sockets. And blood gushed freshly in the wounds. Never dying. Never congealing. Paths had been cleared through the bodies, and they followed them mutely. It wasn't long before Fear saw a human arm amid the Krull, then a leg that appeared to have been half-eaten. The bodies were piled knee-deep on either side of them. Then they began passing Krull who'd been killed by magic. There were great craters in the battlefield, empty of all but pulverized scraps of meat. Others had been burned, or cut in half, or shocked. Some had torn their faces to ribbons with their own claws. The Krull began to vary, too. Pure white Krull with spiraling ram's horns led every unit of 12, and larger ones, 7 feet tall, appeared more rarely still. They walked past an entire platoon of four-legged feline Krull, the size of horses, with jet-black skin, sparse hair like a rat's tail, and exaggerated maws, like a wolf. Rarer still were those like bears, easily 12 feet tall and with thick fur the color of new blood. As they trekked through the vast battlefield, it seemed every natural animal had found a dark mockery here. Bats, ravens, eagles, fanged horses, horned horses, even dark, red-eyed elephants carrying archers lay in ignominious death.
The monsters,
Antoninus said quietly.
Was nothing holy to them.
Fear followed Antoninus's gaze and saw the Krull children. They were most beautiful of all the Krull, with balanced features, big child's eyes, pale skin close to a human shade, and long claws for fingers. These still wore their human clothes. Even the looters hadn't touched them. Fear almost gagged. They moved on, ever closer to the great black dome. After a while, Fear felt inured to the horror. There were 1,000,000 permutations of death, Krull of every shape and size, and sometimes men, and often horses. But the magical fixedness of it, the lack of smell, the stillness of the air, lent it a certain unreality, as if the dead were figures carved of wax. If Jorson was to be believed, 1,113,879 Krull lay dead here. Various Magi scholars had guessed that between 500,000 and 1,000,000 Krull would face them, against 50,000 men. The rest of Jorson's armies had been drawn away by his own treacherous generals. Then Jorson had done all this. With Curoch, the very blade Fir had gone into the wood to retrieve. Of course, he had only retrieved instructions. Curoch was safe in Ezra's wood forever, and thank the gods for that.
"Well, here we are,"
Antoninus said, as they finally touched the dome of Black Barrow.
"Now we can forge our counterfeit Siur Caelestos and save Lantano Garawashi and all his men.
Indeed.
Maybe all the south,"
Fir said.
"All we have to do is find Ezra's secret entrance to Black Barrow, find Ezra's workshop and his gold tools, find 7 broken Mistaril swords, rediscover a forging technique every present-day maker says is a myth, find 1 giant ruby, and avoid detection by a couple of 100 Würdmeisters plotting God knows what."
"Oh," Antoninus said, waggling his great, single cold eyebrow. "Here I thought it was going to take all winter."